Hi, I'm Jay from JinxNavigator.com, and this is my podcast. We're making our way through all the issues of The Jinx, a newsletter for magicians and mentalists that lasted from 1934 to 1941, and a lot of what we do as mystery performers can be traced back to something directly from The Jinx. This is the podcast where we browse through every issue and find out how many of the ideas are still usable and how many are not. Today we're looking at issue number 6, which contains Impromptu Frame-Ups by Theodore Animan, The Astral Shirt by Theodore Animan, The Card That Isn't by Russell T. Wise, Two Mind Reading Publicity Effect by Theodore Animan, and then the editorial by Animan himself. First thing in this issue is from Animan, although he mentions he didn't actually come up with these impromptu frame-ups or using audience members as confederates. Now, I've been in the magic world since the 1970s and have heard the word stooges or plant, but never frame-up for that. Maybe a phrase that died out in the mid-1900s? Anyway, this article talks about a few effects you can do using a plant or stooge from the audience. First one's a version of a mentalism routine, card calling. In this version, you throw a sheet over someone sitting in a chair, or he mentions later have them seated with their back to the audience, and then you have somebody pick a card from a deck. The person under the sheet is asked to name the first card that comes to mind, and they name the card that was just chosen. You can do that again and again, and the helper under the sheet is always correct. In a variation on that, when the third person chooses a card, you have them seal it in an envelope and then do that with every other person two more times. So now you've got three envelopes that are shuffled. You hold one up and ask the person under the sheet to name the card inside. They name a card and someone rips open the envelope and discovers it is the one named. Then do that with the other two envelopes as well. In the next effect, give a watch to someone and ask them to go to a far corner and set it to whatever time they want. They come back, you pass your hands over the face-down watch, then write a time down on a slate. Ask the helper to read out the time they set, and you show what you wrote matches. Finally, there's a couple other effects using things written or drawn on slates, but because of the info given at the beginning of this, you know that stooges are involved. What's interesting, though, is these are instant stooges. When they first come up to help you, they don't know that they're going to be critical in helping you pull off the effect. There are some good tips on how to choose the right kind of person, so I recommend you grab issue number 6 at JinxNavigator.com and take a look at the article. Next, we have the astral shirt that wasn't created by Animan, but he describes a way to use it that changes it from a gag into something more. The effect, as I've read in clowning and comedy magic books, is that you ask a boy to come up on stage to help you, and when he gets there, wearing a shirt and jacket, yes, it's a fancy kid, you ask him to unbutton the cuffs, and then you grab the back collar of his shirt and pull it right off of him without him taking his jacket off first. The effect, as Animan describes it, is that in a nutshell, but framed differently. You tell people you can pass solid through solid and have someone use a piece of rope to tie your hands together. It's a real tie job, no fakery needed. Tell him you're going to remove your jacket with your wrist still tied, then you go just out of sight for a moment. Call out that you're having a hard time with your jacket, so you'll try the next best thing. Then you come walking out with your jacket, tie, and vest still on you. Your wrists are still tied, and your shirt is draped over your arm. And everything can be examined. There is some preparation that needs to take place beforehand, but it takes only a few minutes, and then you are set to do it at a later time. Animan said he's walked around for a full evening, just waiting for the right time to spring it. You do need to be wearing a jacket and a vest, or you may have something that would work instead of a vest, but that's the best way to do it. Animan says it's a great bit to do for reporters, and is something that people will tell others about. And it is available for you in issue number 6 of The Jinx. Here's the only effect in this issue that's not from Animan. It's The Card That Isn't from Russell T. Wise. Someone chooses a card, let's say it's the Ace of Hearts, put it back in the deck, shuffled and cut, and you announce the chosen card has jumped to the top. Flip it over, but oh, it's not the card that was chosen, it's the Ace of Spades. Leave it face down on the table, hand the deck to the helper, and have him spell out his card, dealing one card for each letter. So he spells out the Ace of Hearts, letter by letter. Turns up the last card, which is... Oh, wait a minute. It's the Ace of Spades. But wasn't that over on the table? Turn the tabled card over, and it is actually the Ace of Hearts, the chosen card. So I explained the effect the way it's written, but doing this with two similar cards, I think, is a mistake. Two aces, two threes, two queens, whatever. It's like writing a book where the main character is named Tommy, and his sidekick is Timmy, and his sister is Tammy. When you're doing something with two cards, if at all possible, make them visually distinct. So use a three of spades and a queen of hearts, for example. Okay, rant over. The method requires a force and a slight, such as a double lift, and then you'll need to sneak the top card a ways down into the deck. Now, it doesn't actually explain how to do that. It just says to sneak it down there. It also uses a short card as a way to mark a spot without using any kind of finger break, which I kind of like. If you're into cards and like the sound of that effect, get all the details in issue number 6 at jinxnavigator.com. The last magic effect in this issue is another one from Animan and is called Two Mind Reading Publicity Effect. You might think from the name maybe it's a coded duo routine, but nope, there are just two variations. And you'll need to burn some stuff. In Animan's day, there were ashtrays all over, so it wasn't a big deal for them. Grab a newspaper, for you kids out there, that's like an iPad made out of paper, and rip a chunk out of one of the stories, a piece about 2 by 3 inches. Hand it and a pencil to someone and have them circle one of the words, then fold the paper in half once each way. Take it at your fingertips and rip it up, dropping the pieces into an ashtray and lighting them on fire. After the paper's been burned, you are able to reveal the word that has been circled. So this is the first mention of a center tear in the Jinx, and it's not even called that. So this is nothing new to most of us at all, except that the idea of taking a newspaper and ripping a chunk out of it to use is kind of unique. No, newspapers aren't as ubiquitous as they once were, but they are still around in places. The second variation involves 4 slips of blank paper, an ashtray, because you'll be burning 3 of them, and uses living and dead as the presentation. You already know how I feel about living and dead, so I'll just say that if you want to know about the variation, all the details are in issue number 6. Finally, we come to Animan's editorial, and it's full of who's performing where. He mentions Di Vernon, Count Orloff, Russell Swan, Tommy Martin, LaPaul, and Paul Duke. Duke had started appearing at Leon and Eddie's with the innumerable cigarette routines and had been getting a great reception. Animan then asked for everybody to send him a postcard and tell him if they would support the Jinx if it were published twice a month. He mentions that magic publications have tried before to come out more than once a month, but it never works out. Spoiler alert, he never does the Jinx twice a month. No, he jumps all the way to weekly, starting at issue number 61. He ends the editorial with an essay on what's fair in magic, and is worth reading. It's not very long, but he makes a good argument for his thinking that the effect is supreme over the method. And that's it for this episode of the Jinx Navigator podcast. To see every article in every issue of the Jinx, go to jinxnavigator.com. You can sign up. It's completely free. Use the contact form on that site if you want to tell me what you think of the podcast, good or bad. I'm Jay Jennings from jinxnavigator.com, and I hope you join me again next time when we explore issue number 7, which includes Orville Wayne Myers Effect, A Practical Card Code. Thank you in advance for helping spread the word about this, the Jinx Navigator podcast. See you next week.